Great to see everyone. Want to give a special welcome back to our students. See clumps of you around. We really do love you. We really miss you when you're gone. So we're so thankful that you're back in the house today. Really, really wonderful to have your energy, your passion for the Lord. We love you. Am I the only one hearing this? No. Okay. Should I do something about it? Cue, sing a song? Yeah. So not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Just keep talking. Yeah. Okay. Thanks. I got a thumbs up. I don't know what that means. I'll go with keep talking, and they're going to work their magic back there. Go ahead and put up the first slide for me, Nancy. This is a picture of, who knows? Harper? What is it? The Griffin from Busch Gardens. Raise your hand if you've ridden this roller coaster. Oh my gosh, so very impressive. So, okay, just a little bit about me. I don't like amusement parks. I never really have. I don't like spinning, I don't like falling, and I don't like piercingly loud noises, so there's just not much for me there. But as it would be, when I started working here, I was the youth and college director, and so you do what you do. And so, of course, we took kids to Busch Gardens, and I rode this thing. I did. I rode that thing. I thought, I'll be all right. Well, what you don't know is, like, so they pull you up, you go up to the top, and then they just, like, dangle you. And it's so, like, straight down that you can't even see the track behind you. You're just kind of, like, dangling, waiting for your death. And then they just drop you. They just let you go. And I just want you all to know that there has not been a time before then or after then that I have so earnestly prayed for Jesus to come back. I didn't like it, not one second. The only part about it that I liked was getting off at the end. And after I got off of that ride, I kid you not, I have not ridden a roller coaster since then because I feel like I have nothing left to prove. I was really happy to be the pack mule for the rest of the day and just carry everybody's things around. And I did feel nauseous all the rest of the day. I mean, the truth is, guys, I get nauseous on a swing. Like, what was I doing? What was I thinking? This, not a joyride. Not a joyride. The book of Philippians. Oh, you guys, this is the best I got for you today. I'm so sorry. I apologize. It's a joyride. Book of Philippians. Oh. Mike, it's going to get better. I promise. It'll be okay. It'll be all right. Book of Philippians. I'm just going to keep returning because when I feel uncomfortable and start sweating, then I just keep making it more awkward. So I think that's what's going to happen today. Hold on tight, everybody. Book of Philippians. It's a letter. It's really a thank you note that Paul sent back to the Philippian church after they had sent Epaphroditus to, such a great name, Epaphroditus. Okay, can we have a restart? Can I do that? No. Okay, Mike says I'm fine. It's okay, we'll talk about it after, I'm sure. Just kidding. Just kidding. All right, Epaphroditus sent provisions to Paul while he's in prison. And Paul he's in a Roman prison, and Nero is emperor. So it's not good. Nero was brutal. He was a terrible emperor. And so Paul had really come to terms with the fact that he could die here in prison. And he talked about it in the first chapter. He said, you know what? To live is for Christ. It's for you. If I live, it's for you that you may know Christ more. But if I die, then I get to be with him face to face. What if we could have that kind of perspective like Paul had? Philippi had a special place in Paul's heart. It was the first church that he planted in Europe, and you can actually read about it in Acts chapter 16. Not only is this a thank you note, but it's also encouragement. He's writing them to say, rejoice, keep on rejoicing, keep on letting the joy that you have overflow. He writes them to tell them that joy is their right as a believer. It's their inheritance. It's what has been freely given to us. It is our privilege. You know, I think so often we don't step into that thing of joy because we're haunted by our past or we're concerned about our tomorrow. And chapter 3 addresses this very thing. Chapter 3 of the book of Philippians tells us that Jesus has got the whole scope of our lives covered. He's got redemption for yesterday. He's got a purpose for us for today. And he has himself as our prize for all of eternity. It's good news. That is something solid for us to rest our joy in. So I want you to take your booklet that you'll find on the back of your seat. If you haven't been using one, you can take these with you, mark them up. We're going to start on page 14 in the second paragraph. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I think we just sang this song, didn't we? No looking back. I've decided to follow Jesus. No looking back. Yeah. Christ is enough for me. This is language here. Paul's just brilliant. I'm pressing ahead to take hold of that which Christ has taken hold of me. It's beautiful. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. We'll skip the next paragraph. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, I want you to underline this part right here. Many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. Now, I know we like to underline the parts that make us feel good, but every now and then, we got to take a look at the cautions that the Lord gives us through Scripture. We're going to come back to that. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Heavenly Father, would you help us this morning? Thank you, Jesus, that you are present here with us. Thank you that you have never left us. Thank you, God, that our eternity is secure in you. Would you help us to rest in that? Would you give us new revelation of that reality in Jesus' mighty name? Amen. Amen. Guys, we get to grow in joy three things. We grow in joy because Jesus has redeemed my past. Jesus has redeemed my past. Verse 13 says, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind." Forgetting what happened yesterday. Leaving aside all that is behind me. No turning back, church. No turning back. Thanks, Luke, for leading the way you did this morning. Paul had a past. The first mention of Paul, who was formerly Saul in the Bible, is as he is witnessing the stoning of Stephen, a disciple of Jesus, in Acts chapter 7. He was a persecutor of the church. In 1 Timothy 1, Paul says to the people that Jesus Christ came to save sinners, of which I'm the worst. I'm the worst one. I've got the prize hanging on my wall. I was the worst. But Jesus came to save me. No turning back. I'm pressing on. Jesus can redeem our darkest sin and our biggest mistakes. This is the good news of the gospel. It doesn't get more basic than this. But sometimes when it's so basic, we forget how glorious it is. We forget the wonder of the gift that it is. You know, Mike has a lot of dreams. He's been sharing his dreams recently. I don't have a lot of dreams. I wanted to say that because I didn't want you all to start thinking that you have to have dreams to know the Lord. But I did have one that I'm going to share with you. This was years ago. It came on the heels of someone in our church giving a prophetic word about taking care of the cracks in the wall. Some of you remember this. And there was specific instruction to seek the Lord in the night and to take care of the cracks in the wall. And you know a prophetic word is real when there's something in your spirit that immediately like latches onto it. And so I was taking it seriously, and I'm like, all right, Lord. And so I would sit down at night, and I'd say, Lord, show me what it is. What am I missing? What are the cracks in my wall? And I didn't get anything. And then one night, in the middle of the night, I have a dream, and honestly, I don't actually know if it was a dream or if I was awake. I really don't know. And I saw someone that I know and I love, and I saw their life playing out before them as they would see it. And it was like a movie. And I was watching it, and I was realizing, well, this is all their points of shame. This is all their mistakes. This is not how I would define the movie of their life. And so then the script stops, and then I start seeing my movie. And I realize immediately, oh my gosh, I've done the same thing. So there before me is on a movie screen, everyone's worst nightmare, right? All your points of shame, all your darkest moments, all your hidden secrets, all the things that you don't want anybody else to know, all your points of embarrassment, and they're just playing. And the Lord spoke to me in that moment, and he said, if you define yourself by all that happened back there, you will crumble. So my cracks were not the things of my past, but they were the things of my past that I was pulling into my present. You see, the past has a way of repeating itself when you keep pulling it into the present. That's why you see, look around and you see people who are stuck in the same cycles. They're letting all that stuff define who they are and therefore determine how they move forward. Those were my cracks in the wall. And I just believe, you guys, that the Lord wants to set you free from that. It's not how he sees you. Amy told us this morning, you're enough. You're enough for him. You're not enough to do it all on your own. That's what he's for. But you don't need to do anything great to come to God. He wants you just as you are. And he wants you to forget what is behind. Do you think Paul could have ever had the impact that he had on the early church if he had everywhere he went started by saying, I was the persecutor of the church. I think I killed your brother. I'm sorry. Forgetting what is behind. I'm leaving that back there. I am moving forward. You know, Paul wants us to know that it's not just our past sin that Jesus covers. Additionally, Paul wants us to know that just like you can't ruin God's redemption with your sin, you also can't earn it on your own merit. Paul was an interesting guy. You know, he was so smart. It was like he had degrees from Harvard, Princeton, and Yale, but he was also a bully and a murderer. That's who he was. He's a brilliant man who was also persecuting the church. He had all of that at the same time and never got a speeding ticket, never broke the law. In verses 4-9 of Philippians, go ahead and go to the second one. This is where the first slide is. He's just telling all of his credentials. He's listing them out. He's saying, hey, look, if anybody could do it on their own merit, it would be me. I had this thing figured out, locked down. He's saying, but that's not what it's about. In verse 7, he says, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage. In the original language, it's not actually that nice of a word. That I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own. He's saying, I'm giving away the righteousness that I earned. It doesn't matter. It's not worth anything. I'm going to instead take on the righteousness that is mine only through Jesus Christ. It comes through faith. So church, we have to give him all the best of us and we give him all the worst of us. And what do you get in return? All of him. You get him. You get Jesus. You give him your failures and you get freedom. You give him your judgment and you get mercy. You give him the lies that you believe and you get his truth. You give him your sin and you get forgiveness. You give him your hatred and you get love. You give him your anxiety and he will give you rest. But not only that, you know, sometimes I think it's actually easy to give him that stuff. It's harder for me to give him my accolades, my titles. It's harder for me to lay down all that I think that I've earned. It's harder for me to lay down the things that impress you. But when I do, when I give him all of that, when I really don't look back even at those things, I get real worth. Real worth. Not rooted in temporary things. I get an identity that cannot be shaken. I get peace. I get joy. Let's pray. God, would you restore to us the joy of our salvation? God, would you convince us yet again that we haven't done anything so bad that it separates us from you? And God, would you, for once and for all, show us that there is no way to earn your love. It's just given freely. God, we thank you for redeeming our past. Thank you for covering us. God, I ask that if there's anyone here who feels like they are haunted by their past life, would you free them in the name of Jesus? Amen. Jesus redeems my past. Number two, Jesus has a purpose for my present. Remember, Jesus has the scope of our whole life. He has a purpose for our present. So we don't look back any longer. Instead, Paul says, I strain toward what is ahead. I press on towards the goal. What if every day you woke up and you started singing that? I have decided to follow Jesus. What if that was a song that you woke up to every day? We're so distracted. We're so distracted. We're so distracted. And I think we spend so much time telling ourselves that it's okay. Convincing ourselves it's not really that bad. That I'm not really sinning. But I think the reality is that instead of being singularly focused, instead of having our faces set as flame, you know, Jesus said, well, it's in, I don't know where it is, Matthew. Yeah, Luke 9:51. It says, when it was time, Jesus set his face towards Jerusalem. The thing that we look at is the thing that controls where we go. And you guys, I think so many of us are just like, where are we going? Nowhere. You're going nowhere. Either that or we're doing this. Do you know the average American is spending 2.5 hours just on social media a day? Oh, ouch. Just on social media. Do the math. That's 864 hours a year. It's a month. It's over a month. We're distracted. Our eyes aren't set on him. So that verse that I told you to underline, you know, he introduces it here and he says, you know, I've told you about these people. He's saying, these were people who were once following me. These were people who were once running after me. I've told you about them before. Listen, we're all susceptible to this stuff. We're all susceptible to fall away. And it often doesn't happen because we make one big grand mistake and then we're off. It's the little decisions that we make every day that turn our face. Many live as enemies of the cross. Ouch. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. That means we're driven by natural appetites. Their glory is in their shame. And it's all summed up in this last sentence. Their mind is set on earthly things. Their mind is set on earthly things. When I read that verse, I thought about another story in the Bible. It's in Matthew chapter 16. And it's dear old Peter. It's that story where Jesus yet again is telling his disciples, he's like, the cross is coming. I'm going to die on a cross. He's trying to warn them. He's trying to tell them. He's trying to prepare them for what's to come. And Peter rebukes Jesus. You know, I mean, it's probably not the best idea to rebuke Jesus. Peter's like, what are you talking about, man? You're going to lose all your followers. We're getting really popular. You're going to get the vote, man. And Peter's, and Jesus, what does he say to him? It's really gentle. Get behind me, Satan. You know, there's a time for gentle parenting. And then there's a time to draw a line. Get behind me, Satan. Peter was distracted. Do you know why? Because he thought that Jesus was going to be their king. He had dreams of power, glory. He was limited to what he could see in this life. He wasn't able to see the kingdom of God. His gaze, he'd lost it. When Jesus went to the cross, Hebrews 12 tells us that it was for the joy set before him. Jesus had his eyes fixed on us. And we, his love for us, pulled him through the pain of the cross. So guys, we get to do the same thing. Set your eyes on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of your faith. And it will pull you, it will give your pain a purpose, and it will pull you through to the other side. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God, and then everything else gets taken care of. Isaiah says, I set my face as flint. Guys, as believers, we've got to have a little more resolve. It takes work. It takes discipline to set your eyes on Jesus. Jesus is the only one who will bring us joy. All right, Bev, can you come on up? Last point. Jesus is my prize for all of eternity. Jesus is my prize for all of eternity. So I don't look back, I press on to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Verse 20 of Philippians chapter 3 goes on to say that our citizenship is in heaven. In Hebrews chapter 11, right before we get to the chapter 12 that I just said about Jesus being pulled through by the joy set before him, chapter 11 of Hebrews is called the Hall of Faith. And it lists out men and women of Scripture that we read about and all the great acts of faith that they did, all that they gave their lives to. And they didn't all see it come to fruition. In verse 13 of Hebrews 11, it says, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They didn't receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have been able to return. But instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. C.S. Lewis talks a lot about eternity, talks a lot about the afterlife, talks a lot about joy. He actually says that joy is the serious business of heaven. But he famously says in Mere Christianity, if I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. You were made for something more. If you've ever had the feeling like, I'm missing something here, I'm not satisfied, there's something that I can't figure out, it's because you weren't made for this world. You were made for something more. You were made to sit with Jesus in heavenly realms, and you will. Our eternity is secure. We can rest in the serious business of heaven. Ministry team, come on up. God wants to do a few things today, I believe. One thing is, if you do feel like you've lived in a place where you've been paralyzed by your past, where you feel stuck, where you feel like you've got a weight hanging over your head and you just can't shake it, Jesus wants to free you from that today. No looking back. No looking back. Second thing is, if you're distracted, we all are in some way. You know, there's a big difference between just thinking it right now, oh, I should probably make a change, and telling somebody about it. Confessing it as a sin. The word says, confess your sins one to another. You'll be forgiven and freed. So if you just want to confess, you know what? I'm distracted. I've lost sight of Jesus, and I need help getting my eyes back on him. I want to invite you forward. And the last thing is, if this thing of eternity is a new idea for you, if you don't know that you get to spend all of eternity wrapped up in the love of Jesus Christ, your Savior, then we want to invite you into that today, and we would love to pray with you and tell you a little bit about what that looks like. Would you go ahead and stand? Heavenly Father, we thank you. You're so good. You're so kind. God, thank you for redeeming our past. Thank you for giving us purpose in our present. And thank you, God, that you are our prize for all of eternity. And you're worth it. And you're worthy of our whole lives. Jesus, would you meet us? Would you touch us? And God, would you let us be carriers of your joy into the world? We love you. We honor you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. I invite you to come forward. If you have never been baptized, go talk to somebody in the corner, and we'll make sure we get you signed up for next week. We'll see you guys. Love you.